you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from John chapter 3, verse 17. Now, most of you know about John 3:16. It's a great verse. It's a powerful verse. We see it on banners at football games or golf outings. It's on people's shoes or tattooed. But verse 17, how familiar are you with that? And I share it because it's the special verse, one of many special verses. Dawn Huddleston loves the Bible, loves God's word, and she had many favorites. But she said, I really love John 3:17. Can we talk about it? I said, Dawn, I want to introduce you to our radio listening family for a number of reasons, but I would love to have your insights on John 3:17. So here's what it says. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.
Yes.
It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday. You know, it's my favorite day of the week because I get to share somebody's faith journey, life story, some of their testimony time during this program. It's February 13th, 2024. And you wonder, why does he give the date? Well, this program gets archived. So maybe something that's said and shared, you want to listen to it again or send it to a friend. And we're going to be talking about Jesus and the redemptive work he desires to have in all of us. And so maybe they're unchurched. Maybe they've never experienced God's love. Or maybe somebody's just condemned them or they have a bad sense about their first or only church experience. Well, may this program, as Dawn and I have already prayed up, be used of God to help them on their faith journey, or maybe give you a good laugh. Maybe you already love God, but you need to just smile and think, what a good God he is. Or be reminded, for God did not send his son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Dawn, by way of introduction, I've just gotten to know you for the last so many months through the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance. You do a lot of their posts and media and get the word out about the great things God's doing in and around Springfield. I know you're very involved with social media and promotions and helping further churches' causes. I know you work on websites and do a number of things.
Right.
So I've had you on my short list of how can I get Dawn involved with our radio ministry? And she is in various ways, but we've talked about someday or some affiliation or ways as I raise funds and can afford more people and staffing. Dawn's kind of on my short list. And as you know, I hired two different people and I'm very pleased how God is using them. But Dawn is multi-gifted, one of those free agents for Jesus, working with many different churches, passionate about her relationship with God, married to the beloved Trent for 22 years. They have two sons, a 30-year-old, I think
yes.
you said, and a 15-year-old.
That's right.
So God was at work there, and maybe
absolutely.
That'll be a part of the testimony time where God's maybe surprised you in different ways. We
yeah.
could talk about that. You love this verse. You're
I
very
do.
Involved in the Ministerial Alliance. I know last Saturday's Ministry Alliance gathering, and we met, and Bishop Franklin shared some vision for the future and an outreach he's initiating and all the other wonderful things that are happening. It's so neat to see how God is bringing churches together,
it's
different
wonderful.
Denominations,
yes.
people from different life experiences. But you've been involved in that for a number of years. On this Testimony Tuesday, let's just begin with why John 3:17? And you said, like many people, they love John 3:16,
yeah,
of course,
yeah.
but you have a special heart for John 3:17.
I do. I feel like it kind of gets, you know, ignored. It's kind of like the verse after, the famous verse. However, it's so powerful because, you know, a lot of people, when they've had experiences with churches, maybe a negative experience, and they think that the message is condemning, this tells us, no, that's not what Jesus is here for. That's not why he came. He didn't come to condemn us. We are already condemned.
Yeah.
I mean, we are already sinful beings. We know that. But he isn't here to shove that in our face. He's here to redeem us from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really why I love that verse, because he redeemed me.
Yeah.
I was lost. I was lost, lost, lost. And I grew up in church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had heard the word of God growing up. However, I had not connected it to my life in a serious way where I was living it out every single day. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that Jesus loves me so much that he doesn't condemn me for that, that he frees me from it.
And talk about that turning point. So you grew up in the church, like many of our listeners, but growing up in the church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger, or being in a garage makes you a car. You know, you've heard those illustrations. And I should point out, because you're listening and you're thinking, wow, she's very comfortable and very effective and clear. Are you referred to as a reverend or a pastor or both?
Yeah.
You proclaim God's word on Sundays.
Yes.
And where do you attend? Where's your passion right now?
I am part of the pastoral staff at King of Kings Christian Assembly at 520 South Livingston in Springfield, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, our church is in the old juvenile detention center.
Mm.
And we love that because we've turned it into a church. And so
kind of redeemed that.
Yes, yeah. A building that, you know, used to hold people prisoner. Now God uses to set them free.
Oh.
And so I'm under the direction of Bishop Jason C. Brewer. Anyway, I'm really blessed to be in what I consider one of the best churches in town. I'm sure lots of people will disagree with me on that.
Or they will have their own preference.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
But it shouldn't everybody think their church is the best. I mean, that's the way it should be. But,
okay, so you're growing up, you're hearing God's word, you're familiar with going to church, but when did it become more personal?
Well, my mom was a child evangelist. So this was back in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, back then women weren't really allowed in ministry in some of the upper ways, and she just had a passion for sharing the gospel of Jesus. So she was a child evangelist. And so what that means is she did that through Child Evangelism Fellowship. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I say
it
right.
I think out of Peoria or somewhere in Illinois.
Yes, yes. And so I grew up every Sunday, every Wednesday, doing services with her, and we would do what was called backyard Bible school.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it was back in the day we could do these things. We would go to someone's backyard and say, hey, can we have a puppet show and can we share the gospel and give some cookies away? Go get all your friends. And we'd end up, you know, with 20, 30 kids in the backyard and we'd share the gospel with them. So I grew up underneath. I remember my mom would study the Bible every day and I would lay underneath the table, dining room table, while she was reading God's word out loud. And so I became saturated. It's always been a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was almost had become like the ministry had become almost like a business where this is what we do. And I had become detached as far as taking it personally, like really allowing Jesus to overhaul my life. And so there came a point in my life where God really showed me the difference between walking the walk and talking the talk. I was really good at talking the talk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But he said, I want that time alone with you. Don't just be really good at church, at doing church. In fact, the Holy Spirit told me, you're an expert at doing church, if you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
But he's like, come spend some time alone with me, Dawn. You know, come spend some time and just be in my presence. And so when he reached out to me and really just got a hold of my heart, wow, that's when life changed. That's when
it became so much more personal.
Yes.
And I'm wanting you to share that because there's a lot of people that are maybe tuned in today that say, I look at those people and there's that spark in them or that passion and I don't have it and I don't know why. And it's because maybe their Christianity has become a religion. You know, they know how to follow the rules. They know how to say the right things.
Yeah.
They're very moral and good people. They follow the Ten Commandments and everything, but it hasn't become on a personal level where they really feel like they communicate with God. So that's happening and you're growing. And did the scriptures start to come more alive?
Well, I had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
God gave me a dream and it was of Jesus coming back.
Mm. And how old are you at this point?
Oh, at this time, I was probably about 23.
Okay.
About 23, 24. And I had this dream where I saw Jesus returning and these angels were, I have to explain it the best way I can, which is these angels were zipping out really fast and they would take someone's hand and then they'd zip back to glory, you know? And I was waving my hands and saying, you know, I'm next, I'm next. And an angel zipped out to me and they looked at me and they said, I don't know you.
Hmm.
I woke up from that dream sweat,
you
know, and it was definitely a wake up call because that's when I realized, wow, I'm doing really good at doing church, but man, I need to know him. I don't want him to say to me, I don't know you, you know, and so that's when I got serious about the Lord. That's when I was like, you know, forget everything I think I know about church. Forget everything I think I know about God. Lord, you show me. You teach me. you know, and he just really wrapped his arms of love around me, and he just, I learned something new every single day. And I'm telling you, I need him every day.
It's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, we had Mike Crosta filling in for Pastor Jason Schiffo, and he talked about the three scriptures that terrify him.
Yeah.
And one of them was, I think that's out of Matthew or out of Luke, where it talks about, you know, you did this in my name, you did this, but I didn't know you. And he said, that started terrifying me because that means there's some people that are operating in the church or doing good things for the kingdom, if you will.
Yeah.
But Jesus is saying, I didn't know you. And he said, it really brought conviction. So as you got to know him, you know, you started flourishing, feeling at peace. But I'm thinking for that listener that's, I don't know if I really know him. And what would be some steps or measures they could take?
Yeah,
I always love to say, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, James 4:8, or come near to God, because God is accessible, and he's accessible even when you don't measure up, when you're not perfect. Don't think that 10 years from now, if you go to church so many weeks, that now you're ready for God. You can be ready in your sinful state. We're all sinful. We're all fallen. Even this very day, wherever you're at, maybe you're getting ready to go out and do something that's not godly, or you're heading toward the bar, you can still pause and say, God, can you really accept me? Can you reach out to me? So give some people some thoughts on God is a loving God. Like it says in our opening verse, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Listening friend, God desires to save you this very day.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And the first step for me was I had to get real with myself. And I had to admit to myself that I was what I call playing church. I would go do the services and I would have a wonderful time and I would take notes for the sermon. But then I would go home and I didn't have a prayer life. I didn't have a meditation life with him. I didn't have a time where I was really reading the scriptures for myself. And I really believe what I do inside the home is just as important as what I do on Sunday mornings. In fact, I feel like Sunday mornings is the cap of my Christian walk with the Lord. My real journey with him, my real time in the trenches, when it's just him and me, when it's just him and me, and I get real with him and I tell him how I really feel, and he talks back to me and he answers me in such loving ways, in such passionate ways. And so then that changed my church life because I decided, you know what, it's time to do this thing for real. It's time to quit playing church or just doing the minimum, hoping I get into heaven, you know, hoping that God will look at my good works and say, well, you know, she did this, this, and this. No, I want to know him. I want to have a personal relationship with him. And that took time. That just took time where I had to spend time alone in prayer and trust, trust him.
You might have wondered what I was doing.
No.
Pastor Jason knows all the time. I write down things or notes or things that come to my mind as somebody's speaking. And I wrote down the word overflow. And that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And as a pastor, as a minister on Sunday, when you declare and share God's word and divide it, it sounds to me like you first say, Lord, I have a theme or a topic, or I'm going to divide this word, but I want it to be out of the overflow of time spent with you, you bringing ideas and thoughts and concepts and how your Holy Spirit will stir me to be maybe passionate. Because I love when a pastor will certainly study and prepare, but then also he spends that quality time with God so that when he shares or gives illustrations, it's personal.
Right.
It's like, Lord, I've struggled, you know, in my case, I've said this before, careless words. I say things all the time. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. But I can talk about that because I constantly seek God, help me with that. And it sounds like the overflow of your time with God is something that our listeners need to have that. And it might be 5 or 10 or 20 minutes. Some of you, it might be an hour or two, but every day we should spend that quality time with God.
And it can be in your car. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, sometimes we make up in our mind that we need to be in a certain location, in a certain prayer closet. It can be in your car. It can be anywhere that it's just you and him. And start talking to him, you know, and start being real and being honest with yourself about your relationship with Christ. Are you really reaching out to him? Are you really open to hearing? Do you really want to hear him? Because I got desperate for him. And when you get desperate for Jesus, he comes in and changes you. And I have to be honest, he came in and he's changed me a lot, even in the last 2 years. Because one of the things that our pastor teaches about a lot is what we speak out, you know, there's curses in life and death and the power of the tongue. Well, I was not in control of my mouth, to be honest. Mm. I would speak out things, you know, that I wasn't, oh, this job's always going to be like this, or, you know, I'm never going to get ahead. And all these things we speak out. And God started showing me, stop speaking that out. You know, and start speaking, I am the head and not the tail, you know, and start speaking the word, because that's what Jesus did. He spoke the word.
Somebody at one time said that sound waves, that they really continue forever. Because somebody was saying, how can God know all of our word? You know, God can do everything and know everything. But like when we speak something, that sound wave, it continues. It gets fainter and fainter, obviously, like if somebody across the room couldn't really hear.
Right.
But it's still going out there. And it's an interesting concept when you think about, if you collected all the words you ever said, would you really want to hear them all? But if they're all still out there, you know, it's all.
Yes, I've had that thought. And I'm so grateful for forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, that
and
brings.
And it's under the blood, you know, because I've spoke out some awful thing. And you don't even realize it, but against your husband, against your family. I work with coworkers sometimes, and I'll hear women talk bad about their husbands, and it just makes me cringe, because they don't realize they're tearing down their own house with their words, you know? Yeah, I know. You know, when you're married, I've been married 22 years. There's times of aggravation and, you know, you get on each other's nerves. But going out and speaking that to coworkers, you know, God just, I'm not doing that. And so when I speak about my husband, I really try. I really, of course, it's easy because I am married to an amazing man of God.
And you were bragging him up. Trent, if you're tuned in, she was saying many wonderful things. You're a man's man. And
he
the
is.
Different things that
he
you can
him.
Do and accomplish. So
he is my covering. And even though I am a pastor, he's the head of our household. Mm-hmm. And so he prays for me before I speak. Every time I speak, he prays over me. And he's my partner. I may be the one that's up there speaking, but trust me, we're having the discussions. We're the ones that are praying together behind the scenes.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
It's a team. God always uses couples in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And usually we balance each other out, and you're gifted in various ways. And like he could be the prayer warrior.
Yeah.
And he could be given the energy into your delivery because you know that he's right there solid standing beside you. And
I'm so grateful for him. You know, and I hear a lot of women say things, you know, like they don't like the setup of the husband being the umbrella. Well, that is what the word says, number one, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
But also, I see it as a blessing because I'm covered and he takes care of me. He protects me spiritually as well, not just, you know, putting a roof over my head and taking care of my children, but also he covers me spiritually. And I'm going to tell you the truth. If he ever is doing something that I feel like is ungodly or out of line, I tell Jesus in a minute. I will rat him out.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to tell Jesus on you.
I tell him that.
Yeah.
I'll be like, yeah, that's fine. You could go ahead. I'm telling Daddy. That's what I say. I'm telling Daddy. And, you know, and then I leave it alone. I don't hold it over him. I don't say nothing to him again. I let God deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really blessed our marriage because of that. I'm still crazy in love with my husband.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I look forward to meeting him.
He's an amazing guy.
If you just tuned in, I have in the studio with me Dawn Huddleston. She wears many different caps. She's like a social media guru who helps with the Ministerial Alliance and Vicinity, helps out with church websites, has really just felt called of the Lord to assist and equip churches because she has some of the gift sets and the technique and the tools to do it. And many churches are always looking for people or individuals or a business to help them. And so if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, whether it's to have you come speak to their group or their large group or maybe fill the pulpit or consultation on how they can improve their website or social media posts, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, my website is socialthatworks.net.
Okay, so I'm writing this down. Okay. Socialthatworks.net. And so they can find out more there.
Yes. And if they want to call me, my phone number is 217-717-6287. That's 717-6287.
Well, thank you, Dawn Huddleston. This program is archived in case you missed a portion of it or you wanted to hear one aspect of it again. You can stop by WLUJ.org, also greatnewsradio.org, and go to the Mark and Friends tab, and you can listen. It's today, Tuesday, February 13th, and my title is Meet Dawn Huddleston, so that's an easy one you'll remember. In our closing minute or two, I'm going to ask you to close out our time in prayer.
Absolutely.
You know, we prayed up before the program that God would use what's said and shared to his glory, that Jesus would be lifted on high. But there's probably somebody struggling in life. I'm sure there's a listener or two, maybe hundreds, that really are disenfranchised. They're hurting. They're maybe angry at God, despondent because of life circumstances. To the senior saint that's just rejoicing and praising God this day, but maybe cover all of them in a closing prayer.
Absolutely. I'd be honored to. Thank you. Father God, we come to you today, O Lord, and we just give you praise and glory, Lord, for who you are. Lord, I am thankful, Father, that you did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved. Lord, you paid the price for me and for my freedom and for the freedom of my friends that are listening today, O God. Lord, move our hearts to draw closer to you in time of intimacy, Lord. Lord, draw us closer to your heart. Lord, help us not to be so much playing church, Lord, or even get involved in the day-to-day tasks, Father, that we don't have time for you. Lord, draw us where we can spend time in your holy presence, O God. Bless every listener listening today, O God. Encourage them, God. Wrap your arms of love around them, Father. And Lord, for every pastor listening, I pray that you will encourage them, Lord. Lord, being a pastor is sometimes often lonely, and it's often a hard task. And I ask that you encourage them, Lord. Draw them in together, Lord. We give you praise and glory for everything you've done for this interview and this time with my friend, Lord. And I thank you for what you're going to do in the future. Lord, you have a plan for the person listening right now. Right now, you have a plan for their good. Lord, may they give you a chance. Spend some time with you this week in the name of Jesus.
Amen and amen. Well, Dawn, thank you for joining me. And we didn't get to talk about the Ministerial Alliance and some of the other things that God is doing in and through you. So I'm certainly going to have you back. And thank you for joining me for today, the Testimony Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Listening friend, God loves you. And if you're struggling with that, get a hold of Dawn or call 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. There's trained counselors. They can tell you about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They can pray with you. It's a free call. And today might be that first day in your new faith journey, and we'd love to be a part of that. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Dawn Huddleston with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.